Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, we are glad and thankful this morning for this time of assembly. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies of God's goodness and grace. I pray that you'd help us today to be mindful of the Lord's working. Help us to be mindful of the greatness of God. Help us to be mindful, Lord, of your faithfulness to us. And I pray that you'd help us not to neglect to give thanks unto the Lord for the blessings of God in our life. Help me, Lord, use me this morning to speak the mind of the Lord. And to be able to be a blessing to your people in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak for just a few minutes this morning on why Jesus deserves praise. In my story this morning, we have 10 lepers being cleansed, one of them returning to give Jesus praise. Now, there's a reason why that God puts God inspired the writers to put these stories in the scriptures. A lot of things that could have been put here that were not placed there. But God had this story recorded only by Luke for a specific purpose. He recorded this incident to spotlight the grateful attitude of this one leper who came back and thanked the Lord for his healing. This man was not a Jew, he was a Samaritan, which means that he was not raised to worship the true and living God. They had a polluted worship at Mount Gerizim. The other 9, it is not said they were Jews, but when Jesus said this man was a Samaritan, in contrast to the others, it's assumed that the other 9 were Jews who had the knowledge of the true and living God. And this Samaritan, who was despised by the Jews, because they were all lepers, you know, they were all together, Samaritans and Jews, all together because they were all lepers. And sometimes crises in life drives people together that wouldn't normally be together. And here are these men, all lepers, together. But when Jesus heals them, it is this man who grew up without the advantages of knowing the true and living God who came back to say, thank you for healing me. And you know, oftentimes it is those who have not had the advantages of knowing all about this while they were growing up who turn out to be the most thankful for it when they discover it. And I just thought of Sister Lenora there and her testimony and how God brought her out of darkness into light. She didn't grow up knowing about this. But thank God, the Lord found her and saved her and brought her to the light. And oftentimes it is those people who appreciate so much what the Lord does. Thank God for this leper who returned to give praise. And then the Lord gives us this story to emphasize the tendency that men have to enjoy the divine favors of God without ever returning thanks for it. It's a tendency not only in that day, it's a tendency throughout man's history to take the favors of God and never say thanks for what God does for us. And of course, thanksgiving is more than just saying thanks. It's living in such a way as to let God know that we really appreciate the wonderful things that He does for us. Jesus deserves praise. He came to where this leper was. He was going to Jerusalem. He went through Samaria and Galilee and encountered these 10 men at a village. Now, Jesus knew, no doubt, that these lepers were there. These lepers would never have come to Jesus, but Jesus came to where they were. These 10 men were outside the city, outside the village, because lepers were cut off from society. They could not mix and mingle in society. They were outcasts. Everybody was afraid of them. They had to wear a covering over their lips and go around crying, unclean, unclean. And had to stay a certain distance from everybody. So I think I read where that maybe one rabbi has specified 50 yards. They had to stay away from everybody and not come any closer than that to the other people because of the danger of passing on their uncleanness. So these men were outcasts from society, but Jesus came to where they were. They must have known something about Jesus, for the Bible says that as Jesus came to this village, they lifted up their voices and cried to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Did you notice that they did not say, "Have mercy on me"? Not one of them said, "Have mercy on me." They said, "Lord, have mercy on us." So that they were concerned not just about their own need, but they were concerned about the needs of their fellow sufferers there. "Lord, have mercy on us." Aren't you glad that Jesus came to us when we couldn't go to Him? The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought about an old song I used to hear sung, "The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord. It was so great, the crossing I never could ford. From whence I was to where He was, it seemed so far. I cried, 'Dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are,' and He came to me." I'm glad that Jesus bridged the gulf between God and man and came to where we were. Hallelujah. Not only did He come to the leper, but He healed the leper. These men cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus told them, "Go show yourselves unto the high priest." Now, He didn't say, "You're healed." He just said, "Go show yourself to the high priest." Now, in the Old Testament, God laid out certain regulations concerning leprosy. The leper was pronounced unclean by the priest. The priest examined him and said he's unclean and assigned him to his position in society as an outcast. In order for him to re-enter society, he had to go back to the priest, and the priest had to examine him and declare him to be clean. Now, you know, that was not something that happened every day. That a leper come and said, "Look, check me out and see if I'm clean so I can go back into society." That wasn't something that happened every day. That was, when somebody said, "You're a leper," that was a death sentence. You were finished. And they understood that. And you don't read in the scriptures in the Old Testament where these regulations were given. It's only 2 people that I remember ever being healed of leprosy. And one of them was Miriam when she was smitten with leprosy by God as a judgment on her. And she had to remain a week outside the camp. And God healed her and restored her. And then there was Naaman, who was not an Israelite. He was a Syrian. And God healed him of leprosy when he came to the prophet Elisha and he told him to go dip 7 times in the river Jordan. So this was not an everyday occurrence that a leper comes and says, "Look me over and make sure I'm all right and I can go back into society." I'm sure these priests were shocked. And I believe this is one reason why Jesus sent these lepers to the priest. is so that the priest would see firsthand the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so these lepers, they went. They started to go to the priest without knowing that they were healed. But the Bible says on their way, they were cleansed. Did you know that faith without works is dead, being alone? And these men had faith and demonstrated that by the fact that they obeyed the word of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they started on the way. And on that journey, hey, they realized, I've been healed. Praise God. My skin's cleared up. I've got feeling in my extremities. God has healed me. Brother, the death sentence was lifted. These men realized they'd been given a reprieve in life. They'd been given a new chance to live. Hallelujah. Jesus had healed them. Now, you know that was a wonderful thing. And Jesus, when he healed these lepers, this is the 30th recorded miracle of Jesus in the Bible. And in the 6th recorded miracle, Jesus healed a leper who came to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. And he touched him and made him clean and said, now go show yourself to the priest. He didn't touch these men. He didn't come anywhere near these men. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And God healed them on the way. Brother, when this one man realized that he was healed, he turned around and came back to where Jesus was. The Bible says with a loud voice, he glorified God, fell on his face before the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks. He prayed with a loud voice. He had prayed for his healing. He lifted up his voice and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. But when God healed him, he come back and with a loud voice glorified God. I'm telling you, he had a sense of urgency when he prayed. But he had a passion to thank God. And he lifted up his voice. And with a loud voice, he gave glory unto God. Brother, sometimes we are urgent and fervent in our praying and in our asking, but not so fervent in our giving thanks. But this man was not only fervent in his asking, he was fervent in his praise. And with a loud voice, he gave glory unto God and praised the name of the Lord for God lifting the death sentence from him and healing him of his leprosy. Brother, I'm telling you, I don't know. We just don't seem to be excited enough about what the Lord has done for us. I thank God for these wonderful testimonies, and that's great. I'm glad. I'm thankful. But I wonder if every one of us couldn't use a little bit more passion about what God has done for us. And that we'd lift up our voices and say, thank God for what God has done in my life. We have to be not only passionate in our praying, we have to be passionate in our praising. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look in Psalm chapter 30 right quick. This Psalm David is praying for healing. He said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me, David said. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. This psalm sounds almost like it could have been prayed by this leper. Lord, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. You brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth for the moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And all of us, no doubt, feel like that when everything's going well, we think, you know, things like this could never happen to us. Sister Vicki had no idea when she came to church this morning that she'd get the news and her grandbaby maybe have meningitis. While we sit here, you know, with bank accounts and cupboards full and bellies full, and we don't think bad things could happen to us. But I'm telling you, brother, he said, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But the next verse says, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mouth to stand strong, that it hath hid thy face. And I was troubled. There was a change that came about in his situation from prospering to God hiding his face, and he's in trouble. And I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Here's what he cried to God. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And listen, God heard his prayer. Listen to what he said. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. You've girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever, he said. Hallelujah. Brother, God wants us to be passionate about our praise and giving glory and honor to him. Now, you can't do that until you take time to think about what God's done for you. And you've got to understand the fact that God did it for you, even though you didn't deserve him doing it for you. And you've got to understand that God did favors for you when you deserved judgment from him. Hallelujah. And when we understand that it's all the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blessings of God are undeserved, then, brother, it causes us to be passionate about our praise unto God. He lifted up his voice and gave praise unto God. And then the Lord Jesus deserves praise because he healed 9 others that failed to praise him. This man come back and praised him. Jesus said, where are the other 9? Well, this is the way it is in life, brother and sister. I'm telling you. If we get 10% of people that receive the favors of God, if we get 10% of them saying thank God and glorifying God and honoring God, we're going to be doing good. But here is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be aware not only of the blessings God has bestowed upon us, but the blessings he's bestowed on others, and give thanks to God not only for what he's done for us, but what he's done for others too. I thank God for the blessings he's bestowed on my children. And Brother Roger stood up and praised God about what the Lord done for his children. I tell you, when I'm praying, I thank God. God, you've blessed, you just blessed me. You've blessed my children. I thank God for the blessings of God on my children. I don't just thank God for the blessings of God on my children. I thank God for the blessings of God on this church, the people in this church, our nation, the great blessings of God upon our nation. The Bible says, I will, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that giving of thanks be made for all men. Because all men are not going to praise God. But you and I are to praise God and to glorify God. Not just for what he's done for us, but what he's done for other people as well. That 9 didn't come back, but this man come back and said, thank God. I'm telling you, brother, we're to be aware of not only what God's done for us, we've got plenty to praise him for what he's done for us, but we're to praise him for what he's doing in the lives of other people as well. Those people who will never say thanks, we're to say thanks for them. And to give glory to God for what he's done, not only for us, but for other men as well. I tell you, Jesus deserves glory and honor and praise. He's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is the source of all good things. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the Bible tells us that God makes all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. Did you get this? He's for you. And He's the source of all good things in your life. And everything that happens to you, God makes it work for your good to them that love Him and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Brother, the Bible says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We want to be thankful people. We want to be sure that God receives glory and honor. And this very morning, Jesus is looking for somebody to come back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you redeemed me by your blood. Thank you for the change you've made in my life. Thank you for how you blessed my family and blessed our great nation. Now, I may talk some more about that tonight. I'd love to. I'm telling you, we are in a blessed country. Oh, my brother, sister, we are in a blessed country. We just hardly realize. I believe maybe Dwayne made mention of this in his testimony, but we hardly realize. If you've never been anywhere else but America, you don't realize how blessed you are right here in America. And we ought not to take these blessings for granted. We ought not to take these blessings and never realize where they come from. We want to give glory and honor to Jesus. The Lord has been so good to us. Praise God. I pray the Lord will bless you this Thanksgiving season. You know, it's a time when families get together and we have these wonderful meals. And I guess the Thanksgiving meal is my favorite one of the whole year. I love that dressing and turkey and mashed potatoes and green peas. And boy, y'all, I just get hungry thinking about it nearly. And I thank God for that. But you know, it's a blessing of the Lord we can have that. You go to another country, they may be wondering what in the world they're going to have for Thanksgiving. And they don't have Thanksgiving in a lot of countries. This is an American tradition, but I'm telling you, brother, we don't just wonder if we're going to eat like they do. We just wonder what we're going to eat, how much we're going to eat. And the Lord's just been too good to us for us to be silent about the Lord's goodness to us. So let's not only pray fervently, let's praise fervently this Thanksgiving season. Let's stand together.